letters. The old-fashioned, delivered by snail mail, handwritten kind can be beautiful and powerful. Friends, lovers, family members have for centuries poured out their hearts using pen and paper to loved ones somewhere distant. The writer may be describing everyday events, but in their commentary and tone, they reveal what makes them tick, what brings them joy, what causes tears, the things that test their courage or cause them doubts. Letters may be filled with yearnings for being together again, or sometimes the letter is a shakily written apology, expressing deep regret for mistakes made and feelings wounded. Letters are a treasure trove of memories, hopes, dreams, and possibilities. As you open a letter penned by someone dear, your heart beats a little faster, your eyes drink in the words of care, the words of concern, and the words that bring deep comfort. Friends, when you next open your Bibles, let it touch you like that. Because the Bible is the world's most eloquent, most heartfelt love letter. In narrative, in poetry, in words of advice and words of warning, the Bible reveals God's heart, God's plans, God's yearning for you to know Him and be known by Him. Whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, the Bible has a word to encourage and strengthen us because it reflects and reveals the depths of God's love for us, for you, His precious child, loved from before time began. God's word encourages us because God has designed it to shape us, to grow us, and help us mature. Today we've heard from a passage in 2 Timothy, and this was Paul's final letter to his friend and co-worker Timothy, urging him to remain steadfast in his ministry by staying true to God's word. Paul reminds Timothy that his whole life has been shaped by Scripture. Since his infancy, those people who have loved Timothy the most, his mother, his grandmother, his mentors in the faith, they have loved him by teaching him God's word. And now this is a great encouragement to growth group leaders, to Stacks teachers, to youth leaders, and those in MOPS, mentors, preachers, and all parents. When we read the Bible and teach the Bible to those we care for, we're building them up in faith and giving them strong foundations for a life that is productive and pleasing to God. The Scriptures, say verse 15, make us wise for salvation through Jesus Christ. That is, they tune us in to God's rescue plan for the world. They're the blueprint for how to live God's way. And they're a written invitation to meet God and to find new life, full life, in Him. The main verses I want to focus on today are 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This affirms that the Bible is not just a human-authored book of poetry and history and letters and laws. No, the Bible is God-breathed. It affirms that the Bible, that God is the ultimate author behind the Bible, working in and through faithful human writers, not overriding their personality, but sovereignly shaping their reflections and their writings to be part of the greatest story ever shared. And that story, that book, the Bible, in all its historical and literary variety, thoroughly equips us for for every good work. And it does this in four particular ways, which I'd like to focus on in turn: teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Firstly, teaching. God's word teaches us, not merely by conveying information, but by conveying truth and beauty and a vision of goodness and hope and new beginnings. God's word teaches by leading us to our Creator and our Saviour, introducing us and then providing a lifetime's worth of experiences and lessons in living. The Bible's teaching is powerful because it is transformative. Isaiah 55 verses 10 and 11 contain the image of God's word as rain which causes plant life to grow. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word is strong to help us because it is a living word, a life-giving word, a generative word that causes growth. More energizing than a Barocca tablet, more inspiring than a sunrise over a tropical beach, God's word teaches us how to live the full life that Jesus promised to his followers. The flip side to positive teaching is rebuke. When you're learning to drive and you forget to do a head check before changing lanes, you might be rebuked with the loud blast of a car's horn from your blind spot. A rebuke is a warning that you've made a mistake. You've done something that will hurt you or others. Now, people generally don't like to be rebuked, but an openness to learn and improve is a great virtue in this day and age of narcissism and self-promotion. God's word strengthens us by revealing where we are doing wrong in our actions or where we have wrong ideas in our thoughts. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 uses the image of God's word as a sword able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. With greater precision than a surgeon's scalpel, God's word can show us our hidden sins, the ways we are blind to our own ego or our prejudices. And this is the kind of cut that is ultimately healing, because God's word will help us cut out the rot and preserve the good. So when you read the Bible, don't just look for affirmation and comfort. Ask God to show you where you've got it wrong, where you need to mature, or perhaps go in a new direction. In that way, God's word will build you up for good. Third, in this list of how the Bible equips us for every good work, is correcting. The image here is of making something that is crooked straight once more. I have a old 10-speed bicycle at home, and last year I spent some time fixing it up. And this included realigning the front wheel, which was turned slightly to the right. Without correction, if I rode that bike without thinking, I would end up going around in circles, which sadly is where some people get stuck in their spiritual lives, going on about the same hobby horses, falling into the same sins. Maybe they're surviving in their faith, but they're hardly thriving. God's word can help you get back on track, to be going somewhere new, somewhere more fruitful in your faith journey. Generally, God uses other Christians who read the Bible with us to help correct our distorted views and accumulated roadblocks. So let me give a plug here to growth groups and to one-on-one mentors. as we meet and share with others who have different experiences, different spiritual gifts, different learning styles, God can use those people to help us see new truths and new applications for our life from His Word. Fourth in this list of how God's Word works in us is training in righteousness. People train to improve their fitness, their eloquence, their vocational skills. But here, we find that God's Word is best suited to training us in righteousness. That is, how to be in right relationship with God and with your fellow human beings. Righteousness, or godly living, is conducting yourself in such a way that your thoughts, words, and deeds bring glory to God and are a blessing to those around you. God's Word does all this with a clear purpose and destination in view. Verse 17, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Being thoroughly equipped means being proficient, competent, fully qualified for the task. It's not like some fresh out of TAFE apprentice chippy who can hang a door or perhaps repair a pergola. No, this is the kind of skill that a master craftsman demonstrates when they fashion a beautiful, strong, functional piece of furniture that will last for decades. How, in practice, do we engage with God's Word so that it strengthens us daily and equips us to live life the way God intended? Well, these days we're positively spoiled for choice. You might use daily reading notes like Daily Bread or Every Day with Jesus or the 1 Year Bible. You might use an app like the WordGo app or a reading plan in the YouVersion Bible app. If you've enjoyed Tim Dane's mellifluous tones doing the readings for our online services, maybe you'd like to buy an audio Bible and have the voice talents of David Suchet reading to you as you commute to work or potter around the house. The Church of England has a webpage and an app which packages daily Old Testament, New Testament, and Psalm readings into a time of morning prayer. No page flipping necessary. I'm going to put a list of links on our webpage for you to explore some of these options further. What is important is that if you've never established a daily reading, Bible reading pattern, or if it's been a while and you've fallen out of the habit, give it a go now and get support from a Christian friend who'll encourage you and walk with you as you get going in this healthy habit. This year marks the 250th anniversary of the birth of composer Ludwig von Beethoven. I want to close by sharing not some of Beethoven's music, but a famous letter he wrote, a love letter penned to a woman who he was deeply in love with, whom he referred to as his immortal beloved. He wrote, and I'm not reading the whole thing, "However much you love me, my love for you is even greater. But never conceal yourself from me. Good night. Dear God, so near, so far. Is not our love truly founded in heaven? And what is more, as strongly cemented in the firmament of heaven? Love me today, yesterday. What tearful longing for you. For you, you, my life, my all. Oh, do continue to love me. Never misjudge your lover's most faithful heart." This heartfelt, evocative, intense love letter, it's actually tragic. It's tragic because it was never sent. Beethoven's love never received it, never read it. It was discovered amongst Beethoven's personal effects after his death. What a tragedy. Now, the greatest love letter in history is God's Word, the Bible, filled with the story of God's never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. Don't let your life be marked by the tragedy of not receiving it, reading it, devouring it, savoring it. Because if you open your heart to God's Word, it will be for you your strength, your song, your sustenance, your security, your hope, your riches, your inspiration, your truth, your map, your compass, your faithful guide to a life that delights and glorifies God. Amen.